So,
all right, bring it.
You're listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 165. I see dead people.
Welcome to episode 165 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am baseboard boy. Because that's
do some dusting.
All I've done. Oh no! We installed all the baseboards in the house.
Over the weekend.
Gotcha. So all weekend I've been, you know, it's like measuring and cutting, and then on my knees all the time. It's like a weekend at Darren's place, and but we got them all done, so it's all done. Very happy
I'm
about
proud
this.
Proud of you.
Indeed.
I am proud of you. I am cardiology kid again this week. Mom's out of the hospital. Everyone say yay.
Yay.
She is now a cyborg. She has a pacemaker.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
And she seems to be recovering quite well. And she wanted me to thank everyone out there for all of their prayers and good thoughts for her.
Awesome.
And here's to hoping that she makes a full recovery and that she will be back doing her normal routine pretty soon. They say once you get a pacemaker that you feel like a 40-year-old, and I cannot have my mother feeling younger than me. So I don't know how this is going to work.
She's going to be in fighting form.
She is going to be in fighting form. She's going to be in Rocky 85, and she's going to take Sly right out. Don't you worry.
So. Oh, yeah.
Here's to Mom. Cheers.
Indeed. That's worth taking a drink for. And it's all quiet because Matt's on a mission in deep space.
Is he?
He is.
Again? Deep Iowa?
Deepest, darkest Iowa. In the jungles of Iowa.
Is he in that Red Lake, Wisconsin, looking for bits of chameleon girl?
That's what he's doing. He's like, Gates has got to be here. And
Gates
he's trying to
somewhere. Oh.
And he's trying to figure out what the hell they sell at Didio's.
Well, add the L, people. That's what they sell at Didio's. So.
Didio's? What?
Wrong place to add the L. And that leaves.
That leaves me, poor little Scott. Tonight I am.
Speak up, sir.
Karaoke kid.
There he is.
Yes.
That's him.
I'm having microphone trouble, so if I sound like I'm yelling, it's okay, because I am really yelling.
What now I can hear you, so that's fine. So.
Exactly.
Works
well,
for me.
If you think it's important to hear me, I have people who would disagree with you. But yeah, we went out to some karaoke last night. I hadn't been in a long, long time, and it was nice to get back to it.
So. Not since Third and Spruce, baby. Woo!
Yeah.
I almost forgot about that. I tried to.
You tried.
Apparently, my singing was so bad, the bar decided to stop the karaoke. I started. Thank you all for your support.
Nice job.
Bitches, all of you.
They're okay. Like, do you have to do It's Raining Men again?
I was going to do Dark Lady by Cher. Thank you very much.
It wasn't that he was doing It's Raining Men again. It was that he was doing it with that bad Southern Mr. T accent.
Southern gay Mr.
Southern
T.
Out of
everyone's
like,
brain.
Southern gay Mr. T has been, he's been fairly popular.
He's the breakout character of 2011.
You're just jealous. It's all about Eve all over again. The breakout character. Outrageous. No.
Indeed. So.
Oh, if we could do that tonight, what? The part of it.
Part of the Wildfire will be played by Ted McGinley. Yeah.
Oh, then we'll get canceled.
Exactly. No,
part of Matt Kramer will be played by Ted McGinley.
But then we'll get canceled.
You can hook him up. I don't know if you know, but Married with Children ran for 7 seasons after Ted McGinley joined on.
Yeah.
This, you know, that's
Days
a good
and
point.
Love Boat did not. So you know.
Yeah, but this did happen since then. So so maybe he's not a show killer.
Maybe not. Maybe.
He took a pill. He got irradiated by some spider or something.
Something like that.
Spiders.
A machine exploded on his face. I don't know.
In the face.
In the face. So we're gonna dip into the Wayback Machine.
Oh, excuse you. Not without dinner and a movie first.
Oh my.
I don't think you can afford to be that fussy right now, Darren.
Oh, that's true. I can't. That's true. No.
You're telling it, brother.
I have had a string of what the dates. So, and dates is in air quotes, people. And if you're gay, you know what dates means when it's in air quotes. Y'all don't need to hear about this online. So, you know, we'll pass through this.
Well, it has very little to do with Legion, unless you're cosplaying.
Well, let's just say I rejected a few people.
They at least got the flight belt then?
No. Yeah, they're gonna come back to get you, sir.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
I'm aware, and I think I'll be okay. I'm pretty sure I'll be okay.
You're creating your very own nemesis kid as we speak.
No, it wasn't
Churl.
It was me. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's how you deflect that. So, yeah. No, really, it was them.
Good play.
So, you know.
All right. Well, we're gonna go all the way back to Secret Origins issue number 47.
Wow, that is like post-crisis.
I guess by a few years. Yeah, but pre-Zero Hour. Yeah. So we are talking February of 1990. So for example, 5 Year Later was really only just getting started.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna look at this is an issue that focuses on Legends of the Legion of Superheroes, and so we have the origins of Chemical King, Pharaoh Lad, and Karate Kid, and so we're gonna take a dig through those.
Yay!
So let's start off with Pharaoh Lad. This one's written by Mike W. Barr with art by Kurt Swan and is it Mark Badger?
Yeah.
Is it?
You gotta love Kurt Swan. Yeah. I mean, nothing says vintage Legion like Kurt Swan to me.
And Mark Badger was an interesting mix for him.
Yeah, because you can almost not even tell it's Kurt Swan.
Yeah, like there's little bits with the faces. Yeah, exactly. But you're right. I mean, it's a very different style, and
Badger's style is really way out there.
I know the name, but for some reason I'm having trouble placing him.
He does. He's more of a like an expressionistic style.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what. Did you read the Detective Jim Secret Origin?
Oh, okay. Yes.
That was him.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
He's done other things, but that's the thing that obviously pops into my mind. So.
He'd probably be like, I can't believe that's the thing people are identifying me
with. Oh, God.
Oh, well, you know.
It's like Glory's Andre Brower.
Oh, God. We are not going back to that tangent again. We are not going. I'm pulling the tangent lever.
Oh. Oh, that's not the tangent lever, sir.
Oh!
Hey, now. All right. So,
sorry, Sarah.
All righty. So,
he's just bound in the bottom of the time capsule. That's all.
There you have it. All right. So we start off where there's like some ship that's firing a beam at a planet. And we have the dastardly villain. You know, you can almost imagine him twirling his mustache. Would that he had one. That's and he says, to say you've lost would be the merest understatement, Pharaoh Lad. Soon my magnetic beam will drive the moon into the Earth. I do hate to ravage my home planet, but I suppose it will cause the other planets to take my threat more seriously. And the science police officer that he's holding at gunpoint says, you're pretty confident now, Magnon, but if Pharaoh Lad were free, and he says, if wishes were horses, dear girl, nice to see that one survived into the 30th century.
Okay.
My magnetic beam has seen to it that your iron champion isn't free, and he can't stop me. But so Pharaoh Lad is fighting this, and he actually manages to break out because, of course, he becomes human again and frees himself from the magnetic beam's effect. And the guy's guards come after him, and he says, don't wait on my account, boys. It takes me less than a second to iron up again. And after that, all your weapons are just so many noisemakers. And then he pulls a post out of the floor and swings it like a bat and takes them out.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
What do you think that pole is there for? Because it doesn't actually seem to do anything.
Maybe it's an antenna for the...
Is it VIP lounge 2-for-1 night?
It could be. It looks like it could be that because that's the only purpose I could see for it.
There is no sex in the champagne room.
You've obviously never been in a champagne room.
Just going to the wrong champagne room.
Oh, my.
Apparently.
All right. So, anyway, the guy holds the gun against her head, and the science police officer manages to take him out. She says, "Please, feral lad, stay back." And you're thinking, "Oh, it's because he's asking to surrender, and she doesn't want him to free her." And then she says, "It'll look better on the arrest report if I do this myself." And she flips him over, and So then, feral lad turns back human and runs up and punches the guy out. And so I say, "Well, another day, another credit. Once I've shut Magnon's beam off, we can turn this crate around and head for home." And he says, "I suppose so, though I'm in no real hurry, are you?" And he takes off his helmet and they smooch and everybody's saying, "Yay." And it turns out that this is a Hollow movie of some sorts. And of course it seems that he is a, the Feral Lad is now part of a movie franchise.
Hmm.
And so this
Feral
is...
Feral Lad 7.
Feral Lad 7, Will of Iron.
So he had more movies than he had comic book appearances back in...
Apparently.
Before he died.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So they go to so you see the kids after this, they're going to the Rent-A-Hollow and saying, "Well, hey, why don't we rent Feral Lad number 6? And,
Isn't that the one with the whales?
I think it is. And so they go to get this and they see it's like, so not only do they have Feral Lad 6, but they also have available Feral Lad 2, Feral Lad 4. Apparently Feral Lad 3 is out. Mm. But then they've got Feral Lad, The True Story. And so the girl rents this one because she's carrying her little Feral Lad collector's item action figure.
It's like me at a con.
Exactly. He says, "What did you get, Squirt?" And the girl says, "Don't call me that. I got a hollow of my own." And they say, "Well, it's your allowance." So mom comes to pick them up and says, "How was the hollow?" And they say, "It was great, mom. We're going to use the vid, okay?" And hey, it turns out their names are named Kramer. And in fact, the kid
Kramer,
that looks...
Kramer, you dirty dog.
There
you.
He is.
He knows everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. All even right. In the 30th century. So this... And the Tolokian kid says, "Hello, Mrs. Kramer. My, you're looking lovely together." Because it turns out this Tolokian, Eddie Haskell.
Yeah. Eddie Haskell with Mo Howard's...
They get in there and the kid decides that she wants to watch her hollow first. So she puts that in there and the other two say, and the mom says, "Hey, let her go first." So she puts them in and Eddie Haskell says, "Delicious cookies as always, Mrs. Kramer." And So here we go. They watch it, and it says, "Billions of you have thrilled to the Holovid adventures of Feral Lad, whether he was fighting the invasion of the evil robot lords in Feral Lad 4 or defeating the Meteor Scourge in Feral Lad 5. But I wanted all of you to know that Feral Lad was much more than just a fictional hero. He was a real person, as real as you or I. He was my son, and I loved him." So Mama Nolan is the narrator of this. And they're like, "Real?" And the Tolokian kid says, "Oh, sure, just like Santa Claus is real."
Hey, Santa Claus is real.
And so she said,
perhaps he has died by the 30th century.
Yeah. Well, he's evil by the 30th century. Futurama taught us that, right?
True.
Okay.
True. So the mom says, "Why, that's Luisa Caramonte. She was a big Hollow star when I was a girl. Back in the Stone Age, huh, Mom?" And then she says, When I was younger, I had everything, beauty, wealth, fame, everything except a family. And it seemed I had even that after I met Andrew Douglas Nolan, the heir to the Interplanet Mine's fortune. Ours seemed a match made in heaven. We both wanted children. When I became pregnant, it seemed like my life was perfect.
Uh-oh. That's when things usually go wrong. And for a short time, Rosemary's Baby. So.
And for a short time it was. Mr. Nolan, Mrs. Nolan, I'm afraid there's a problem with the twins. Says, no. Our sons weren't dead for a time. God forgive me. I wish they were, because they were hideously disfigured in face and body. And so the old man takes off. She says, it won't be so bad, Andrew. We can raise them privately. And he's gone. She says, I never saw my husband again, though I heard of him. And you see them taking the body out of a wrecked Nolan spacecraft.
Wow. So dad committed suicide over his ugly kids.
Essentially, yes.
Wow. Ugly kid. Because I don't think we ever got this back when Farrelly was created. We just got that he was disfigured.
No.
So
that's it.
This is all new backstory. So sweet.
Definitely. So she says, raising the boys alone wasn't easy, but I won't complain. At least money was never a problem. I had their bodies repaired as best I could, but nothing could be done with their faces. And so so the mother of the kid who's watching the Hollow says, are you sure you want to watch this? It's not like Hollows at all. It, you know, I guess she's kind of like, you know, this is a little too real for the kid.
Baby's first documentary.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, this looks cool. There's an ad for the Batman Secret Code Bike Alarm and Weapon Center. I'm a send away for it.
Was that because Jason Todd once lifted the hubcaps off the Batmobile?
Something like that, yeah.
Dial 1-900, kids.
So right despite the fact that they were twins, there were marked differences between them. Andrew was more outgoing, while Douglas was the shyer, more introverted of the two. Sometimes he wouldn't even speak for days on end. It wasn't until their early teens that I discovered my boys were unique in another way as well. When the lawn rob short-circuited, I thought Andrew would be killed, but instead his fear triggered for the first time in an ability he had always had, the ability to turn into living, flexible iron. Both the twins possessed the power. I suppose it was nature's way of compensating for the hideous mutation of their bodies.
Mm.
Douglas wasn't too impressed, but Andrew was very excited. So excited I should have known where he'd gone when he vanished a few days later, but I didn't. It never occurred to me that he'd gone to try out for the Legion of Superheroes. And so we see the familiar scene of Feralad, Projectra, Nemesis Kid, and Karate Kid standing in front of the Legionnaires, and we have Lightning Lad back when this was Metal Arm. Lightning Lad sends the lightning after, zaps him, and it says, but my son passed the Legion's initiation with flying colors and later proved instrumental in defeating the Kund invasion. Of course, we remember that from, was it Adventure 355?
I think so. The issue they were inducted in the issue right after. Yeah. So, yeah.
So
I can find out in just a second, yeah. Actually.
So anyway, they say that this was the incident in his career that became the basis for the first Feralad film without the Legion. So the Legion totally got Scroogied in the whole thing. And so the kids...
Paul, it's 346 and 347.
Yeah, 355 would be the Sun Eater, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the kid says, Feralad was in the Legion? I didn't know that. And dumb old Eddie Haskell says, I don't believe that. Why would Feralad hang around with them? So he returned home thinking he was proud of what he had done and thinking that his mom would feel the same. But she gives him the old backhander and says, it was our first argument. It was Douglas who convinced me that being a member of the Legion, what being a member of the Legion meant to Andrew and how much he needed to do something on his own. And it was more than that. You see, I'd been afraid of the boy's existence becoming known, afraid my fans would shun me. I know it was awful of me. I'm ashamed now, and I'm happy to report I was wrong. My fame as Feralad's mother eclipsed anything I'd known as a vid star, and I was glad of that. Douglas was very proud of Andrew also, but we were never prouder nor sadder than the day we learned of Andrew's death. He died killing an energy mass called the Sun Eater. He gave his life doing what no one else could do, and he received the highest honor the Legion could bestow. A special memorial... on the hero's resting place on Shiga in Shangala. And so, of course, we get the in memoriam Andrew Nolan Feral Ad, a mutant whose non-human face was kept hidden behind a mask. He gave his life to save this galaxy.
Aww.
That looks like an Absolute bottle from me. Okay.
What's that?
So it kind of looks like one of those Absolute vodka ads.
It does, actually, yes.
God. Absolute iron.
So she says, even with his brother gone, Douglas withdrew even more deeply into his own private world until Brainiac 5 determined that what Douglas really wanted was to be a hero like Andrew, to take Andrew's place in an ideal world of his dreams. And of course, we saw that in Legion 300.
Yep, indeedy. So left mom all alone. Wow.
Exactly, exactly.
It's so, nice of them to reference Legion 300 after Crisis, though. That's kind of an interesting
thing
for them to reference.
Considering, yeah.
Considering what happened to Douglas in that issue, which is taking him to another Earth. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So already we're futzing with that, are we?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. Brainiac 5 found a way to let Douglas enter that world of his dreams forever. I'd lost both of my sons, but I knew that they had done what they wanted with their lives. I initiated the series of Feral Ad Hollows to keep his memory alive, and they have. But Hollows change facts sometimes for the sake of their story. I wanted people to know the truth about my sons. Thank you for watching. And so the kids are like, that was okay, but I still want to watch Feral Ad 6.
Yeah.
And let's go to my place. Thank you very much, Mrs. Kramer. It's always a pleasure being a guest in your lovely home.
She should sack punch that kid.
Seriously. So she says, how about you, honey? Don't you want to go with the boys? And she says, no, mommy, I think I want to watch this again. And so they start from the beginning. Aww. So the legacy of Feral Lad lives on.
Indeed it does, as it should.
Yeah. So Scott, why don't you do the next one?
Oh, I guess I could. It's called
it's such a burden.
Path. Oh, you know, it's not my favorite guy, but the origin of Val Armour, Karate Kid. Speaking of karate, I watched an awesome movie this weekend, just as an aside. Not to take it on a tangent or anything.
No, but, don't let that happen.
I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Story of Ricky. It's also called Ricky O. It's in the original Japanese. It is hands down the craziest, bloodiest kung fu movie I have ever seen. Stuff happens in this movie that makes absolutely no sense, but it's so funny you don't even care. It's okay. It's like sheer, like he's putting his fists through people's heads and guts.
So it's like Adam. So.
Yeah, it is. It's like a Geoff Johns script. It's crazy.
Oh, Jesus.
It's totally, it really, if you're into that sort of wild Hong Kong cinema kind of, it came out in like 91. The director for Hobo Up with a Shotgun, actually did the intro to the DVD.
From the director from what?
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun, okay.
Yeah, he did the intro for the DVD that I watched because he called it the greatest movie ever made.
Oh.
So, I mean, if the guy that did Hobo for Shotgun liked it, it's got to be good, right?
I'm sensing a sliding scale here for the best movie ever made. So.
Possibly.
But anyway, it's chock full of karate and blood. And it's crazy. Like, this guy, Ricky, he's a superhero. Hands down. He doesn't have tights.
He's a superhero?
He might as well be, because he karates the hell out of things. If anyone has super karate, it's this guy.
Karates the hell out of things. That's my power.
He karates that stuff up.
Yeah, from the
don't make me use my super karate.
Do it. Speaking of super karate, come to the 30th century some years back, Legion headquarters. Bouncing boy, triple girl, and matter eater lad.
Louder, sir, louder.
Yes, with feeling, please.
And Bouncing Boy is like, he wants me to track down Mordru? He assigned me to seize the Persuader's axe, says Triplicate Lad, or Duplicate Girl. Is she Triplicate Girl here or Duplicate Girl?
Well, she's never been Triplicate Boy.
Duo Damsel. So. Is she Duo Damsel?
Yeah, she's probably Duo Damsel at this point.
Yeah.
All right, I got it. She's like, I don't know what's gotten into Val Armour now that he's been elected Legion leader. And Matter Eater Lad says, try not to blame him. he had to go through life named after a hot dog. I get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a wiener, hey, make the best out of it.
Like Paul did.
Hey now.
Hey now. Oh, hi, Val. We got your assignments. Freddy Kid says, fine, moderator lad. Could I see you for a moment? Sure. Who's your friend in the fashionable sleepwear? It's the sensei.
Oh, super sensei.
That's Toshiaki White Crane, Val's sensei, his teacher. Then you're the one who taught him to split Inertron blocks with his face. With his face!
With the face.
And sensei says, is this true? Karate Kid's like, Denzel, it kind of sets him back. Spends the next several days staring at the clock of many worlds.
Did he just give Tenzel a timeout? Is that what just happened there?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what's going on. He's like, I'm assigning you to infiltrate the dark circle.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Paul. Sit down, sir.
That can't be right.
Learn their identities. And Tenzel, he looks at his assignment sheet and it's like, the dark circle, huh? That's right. Sure, no problem. I can probably get them to autograph a few 8x10 holos. Karate Kid says, it's important that everyone measure up to Legion standards around here. Even you bozo. He doesn't actually say that, but I'm sure that's what he means.
Goodness.
And Mattery Dad's waving his hands around. He's like, maybe they'll agree to an in-depth profile on Metropolis tonight. The Misfits of Villainy, square pegs in a dark circle.
Oh my.
Nice.
And Karate Kid's like, Tenzel, this mission will teach you what it is to confront your soul. Your soul. It's like, right, that's something like pushing up daisies, isn't it?
Pushing Daisies was like a show that was on ABC for like two seasons.
Yeah.
You know.
So he walks off with his
pie.
He's still scratching his head.
Pie.
So let's see. So the sensei asks Karate Kid, do you think this will strengthen the lad? Sensei, it will either turn him into a real legionnaire or convince him to quit. Either way, Legion gains. Man, Karate Kid's kind of a dick in this one.
Yeah. They should totally kill him.
Yeah.
Karate Kid is a dick. Oh, really?
Well, because, you know, this story is written by Tom and Mary Beerbohm.
Yeah.
And we know they're in tight with Giffen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Right, right. The fix was in.
It's a conspiracy, my brothers.
Mr. Beerbohm, for shame. Just kidding. You're cool. All right. So he says, you run a well-drilled team. Well-drilled team, it seems. Karate Kid says, efficiency scores that put every previous leader to shame, I'm proud to say. Booyah! He doesn't say booyah. What is this hot dog thing? Damn that cosmic boy and his 20th century bid festival. I don't under... The point is, I'm building the strongest legion there is. Sensei says, I suppose no one could expect any less from you. From the time of your birth, it was clear your path would never be the easy one.
Okay, before you go further, Scott, those of you at home, I want a written essay about which movies Cosmic Boy would show the Legion in a 20th century movie fest. Go. All right, moving on.
Post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Please do.
Yeah.
Lord knows there's not enough action over there.
Seriously.
So, that causes Val to have a Batman-style flashback. Is Sensei having the flashback? I'm not sure.
It looks like it's the Sensei.
Oh, because the Sensei is the one that killed his dad, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
There was a little scene where he killed Black Dragon, Karate Kid's dad. He didn't want to. They made him. Black Dragon's organization will attempt to seize him, raise it as the heir to his crime empire. So he decides to take the kid and run off. But she says no. She says, listen, Sensei, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life cowering in fear of those thugs. which of course gets her killed.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
And so, yeah, they steal the kid away. That's when Sensei goes in with his buddy Buckethead. Oh, no, that's one of the bad guys, sorry.
What are the AIM robot guys in this? Kind is that of, just yeah. Brian Deemer slumming in this comic?
So they he beats the crap out of all of them. I guess he takes Karate Kid away and teaches him karate. So it says, your heritage gives you tools that can't be wasted. Your training must be unparalleled. Your path, I'm afraid, will be very difficult. And so he busts a plank with his hand. He's like, oh, it hurts, it hurts. He says, the pain you're feeling, it's only in your mind. And so we get a training montage. We almost see the sensei there. Until finally he montages his way to the point where he does, in fact, throw the sensei. And the sensei is ready. He says, you are now ready for Kumite. Well, maybe not Kumite, but definitely some big karate. But the boy, he's only a half-breed.
Half-breed! It's all I ever heard.
Oh. You will accept his challenge. Most impressive, sensei. He is the best I have ever seen, Kasui-san.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. An Iron Chef Stadium or what?
Tonight on Iron Chef Turkey! Oh!
Oh, turkey challenge.
Being which I cannot eat another bite. I am so
dear. I still God. Got like a big Ziploc bag full of stuffing in my fridge. I'm like,
Oh, do you?
The rest of the family's like,
do you
no,
take it out in the middle of the night and hug it? What do you do with that?
I just take it out, eat some, put it back.
I thought it was bad enough that Darren's was a week old.
Well, no, we have a friend who is actually American, but she's living up here, and so she made a big old, you know,
nice Thanksgiving feast. You gotta do Thanksgiving right, baby. Come on now.
Oh. It's all about the stuffing for me. I could eat nothing else, and I'd be just as happy.
Oh, stuffing.
Sausage stuffing, Jimmy Dean sausage in there. Oh, yeah.
See, we do dressing in the South. We don't typically
dressing,
do
yeah, okay, yeah, well, whatever.
Dressing. It's the same stuff. It's just the location, you know. Mm.
Anyway,
good stuff.
Getting back to Kumite.
Oh, sorry. Back to Karate Kid. Oh. Away from Thanksgiving cast.
So apparently, apparently Karate Kid wins. He has earned the position of Keikancho.
God bless you.
No, it is impossible. There has never been a samurai so young. Silence, he says. It is done. So I guess he beat the man to be the man.
And now yeah.
Okay, so I guess Karate Kid has made head honcho of his district security.
Mm.
The youngest one ever, so I guess he's not being very well received. We're saying, I will take no orders from a boy. And he says, I am your commander. Wham! Punch in the face. Never forget that.
Yikes, a hootie.
I think that's copyrighted, sir.
Oh, is it? Ah. Damn it, I owe pants a dollar. Shit, snit. Oh, crap, I did it again.
Oh,
Jamie D a dollar. Okay, enough.
So the head of, I guess the lead samurai guy, it's like a true commander would never need to fight to establish his authority. Karate gets silent for a minute and he says, hey, Kashui-san, it won't happen again. So, somebody falls. It's a girl, I guess. It's a girl. She's got a dress on. And Karate Kid picks her up. He's like, no, not at all. In fact, I'm supposed to, I need to escort a lady to the closing ceremonies. And she's like, really? And then some dude in pink has the balls to come up and push him away and say, lay off, half-breed. Noriko is with me.
Wow.
She's like, Hideo, you've got no right. He's like, hey, right, pal.
You muggles. Yeah.
It's getting all sweep the leg Johnny up in this thing now.
It's getting a little racist. That's what it's getting.
What? Oh, because the half-breed thing?
It keeps coming up in this.
Because he's half white. That's his problem.
So I know, but it's not like you go around advertising that to everybody, do you?
Maybe.
Oh, well.
He's got the nice wavy hair and everything.
Oriental hair there.
Straight black attack. Anyway. I asked for the closing ceremony, but I guess the boss man says, Armor-san, enough of this. You have no time for this foolishness, and you will escort who I tell you to escort. Dang. So he's looking across the party at Janine Miriko. Miriko, yes. And longingly.
Oh.
Aww. Some
fat dude's making fun of him.
Aww.
Oh, man. But he's going to get changed for the party. He's like, oh, sit up there brooding all night long. You shame my sister. You shame me. I am beginning to wonder if you have the mental discipline to handle this position. That dude's a hard ass. There will be no blunder during this event. The Samurai's Council is the most important gathering of the year for our national government. The Shogun directs that you be placed in charge of security for the entire week. He's like, me? I won't fail you? He'll be watching your performance with keen interest, as will I. Sensei says, Chief of Security for the Samurai's Council. Very impressive. As long as I don't goof it up, he says. It's been a year of prosperity, a year of peace. Samurais are reporting to him. All is secure, Armor-san. I'll take this post myself, Samurai.
It is oh, will you?
That's right. Yes, sir. This just might work out after all. Which, of course, leads to, somebody screaming. He says, that was Sensei. Someone's attacked the Sensei. Karate leaps over a wall. Finds the Sensei. He's down on the ground. He says, never mind about me. I'm the diversion. They're after the Shogun. He's like, good God, the Shogun! And he runs in. The doors are all broken open. And the samurais are all full of arrows.
Ooh, that can't be good. Yeah. That's pointy.
The badass bucket head dudes are coming in after the Shogun. Just about to get him, but Karate Kid says, no! And he karate kicks him in the face.
In the face.
Ooh.
Face. And then he punches another guy in the face. And then he karate chops another dude in the neck. Right in his neck.
Which is near his face.
Quite near his face. And basically lays them all out. In 2 seconds flat. All right.
Yikes. Says,
that was awesome. You are totally awesome, dude.
You're totally awesome. Totally.
He says, your boss was right. You are the best. He's like, my boss said that? Dang.
Wait. He
trusted him with the nation's highest honor.
I'm just looking for the dang.
Okay, he didn't say dang.
That would have been awesome.
I may have interpreted it somewhat differently.
Did he gripe or did he say bloody nass or anything like that? Or no?
No, no. Scott's was much more interesting.
Well, true, but yeah.
So he goes to his boss there. He's like, I just want you to know that without your training, he's like, you did nothing. Like, you only did what you were trained to do after your blunder allowed the assassins to penetrate the complex.
Oh, hello.
That's true, but the blood of those murdered guards is on your hands. I hope this incident has taught you something. He's like, hi, Kishui-san. Damn, that guy's a hard ass.
Yeah.
Makes me realize I can never follow in your path. I can never be good enough for you. From now on, I'll follow my own path. Yeah. We'll be the dome within a dome. 10 points to anybody who gets that one. Something bothering you, Sensei? And this is Karate Kid. He's coming back to the real world. Diddly-doo, diddly-doo, diddly-doo. You don't approve of my leadership style? Oh, that would be irrelevant. Only your own standards matter. Sensei, what is it? I value your advice more than anyone's. Please, tell me what's on your mind. Well, you're running a most efficient ship, Val, but I have to wonder if you're leading these people where they need to go. where they choose to go. Are you helping them to find their path, or are you trying to lead them down yours? And next scene, Karate Kid is sitting by himself. He's in the control room, thinking. Three panels of thinking, and then he hits a communicator button, and there's Matt Reader Lad on the video screen. Yay! And Matt Reader Lad says, "Hits never stop on Slam 95. You're on the air."
Weenie and the butt, people. Weenie and the butt.
What? I don't think that's what he's talking about.
That's from Family Guy. Sorry.
Tenzel? Oh, hi, Val. Wanted you to know I'm canceling that Dark Circle assignment. Oh. So the Metropolis Tonight gig is definitely out? Kind of looks that way. Mm. Okay, got it. Oh, sorry about the hot dog thing. Take it easy, Kenzel. Take it easy, pal.
That poor, poor man named after a hot dog.
That's right. So I guess at the end, he softens up his leadership style and then becomes the Karate Kid we all know and love.
He becomes less of a hard ass, which is always nice to see. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you like hard ass, in which case.
I know.
Just saying.
So the next story is written by another collaborator of Keith Giffen's, one Robert Lauren Fleming.
Oh yeah, ambush bug.
That's right. That's right. And penciled by Chris Sprouse, and this would be one of his earliest assignments because I think when we spoke to Mark Waid, that he said this was one of the first things that he did for DC.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is
I totally didn't even get it was him until like three pages in.
There's bits in the faces that you see, but like, you know, because if you think of when he did the origin in number eight, in what was it? In Legion 8, like for the five year later, which would have been after this. So, this is very early, if not the earliest. And, yeah, so this is some early Chris Sprouse, and yeah, it's a different look, and I think part of that is Al Gordon's the inker on it, and Al Gordon inked him on that Legion Origin as well, and so certainly it looks very different than Sprouse's pencils look under Carl Story's inks. At any rate, the secret origin of Chemical King. News of his birth caused specials on all of the interplanetary tabloid networks. The attending doctors and nurses in the delivery module were simultaneously stricken by seizures, and one, a diabetic, nearly died. Conda Warlick's mother was unaffected because she'd developed high blood sugar in her second trimester and had been on an insulin drip ever since. Kondo himself suffered a seizure shortly after his umbilical cord was severed, and he stopped receiving insulin for her body. He was put on his own IV tube by doctors wearing anti-contamination gear. Conventional wisdom had it that the boy carried an extremely infectious virus, which accelerated glucose production in the human bloodstream. And then the hospital collapsed. And so you got little baby here hooked up to some machines, and there's some sort of clown show going on, and on the TV, on a bunch of TV screens, and the clown says, "Hi, boys and girls, today we're going to learn about helium, which is the gas that makes my balloon float. This is the symbol for helium, and its atomic number is 2. Can you say 2, boys and girls?
2.
Yes. The hospital building was new, but its steel beams had rusted to the point of disintegration. Luckily, there was enough time to evacuate everybody safely. But a new theory emerged about the baby. Conda Warlick was sent to Earth to undergo a grueling battery of tests at the hands of a team of eager scientists who had never seen anything like him before. Yes, the unique properties of Conda Warlick.
Uh-huh.
So you see the scientists studying the baby, and they're wondering what it's, you know, they're basically like, you know, he's playing peekaboo again, and he's doing all these instinctive things, and the scientists are kind of disinterested in all of that. But Mr. and Mrs. Arlick come in, and they're getting the tour, and they say, "This is the learning center where Kondo is being taught the chemical properties of all the elements." And
it kind of looks like Mr. Arlick is wearing a belly shirt there. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, that's not a good look.
Hey, if you got it, flaunt it, all right?
Well, that's so true. He seems to be rocking it pretty well, but...
Yeah.
Yep. Could be a sign of something in the future.
So they said, I was just explaining to the Arlex how we've diagnosed the Kondo's problem. And they said, yes, since your son is presently accelerating chemical reactions involuntarily, we reason that the first step toward helping him gain control over his condition is to teach him chemistry. And now, if you don't mind, we have a space cruiser to catch. And so the parents seem not so interested. Say, is that him? Let's go, Darvon. He looks fine.
Good enough. He's strapped to wires.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, I mean, okay, let's think about this. How would you feel if, I mean, we just saw Feral Lad's dad commit suicide over his kids being freaks.
So basically what, so hey, here's a common thread between all three of these. Their dads were dicks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dads being dicks.
There you go. Yeah?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, you're a good dad, Scotty. We know that.
What? Don't
all, however, you know.
Hey.
Hey.
Damn, yo.
You know.
I'm just saying the jury's still out, you know.
Oh, snap.
Too early
snap.
In the game.
So, when Cobalt 7 is added to... So this is 14 years later, and Kondo is sitting there reciting chemical properties. He's saying, when Cobalt 7 is added to boronium in a saturated solution, the two will exchange molecules at an accelerating rate of 9 milligrams per hour times 3.078 to the 7th power. There are 3 liters in the beaker, so the reaction shouldn't be complete for more than 3 days. And you can see that it gets... The reaction completes, and he's like, nuts. Well, 8 seconds isn't too bad. That's twice as good as my last time. I'll just have to keep trying until I get it right. And then they pan back, and you see that he's in a big lab with all kinds of chemicals in tubes. And there's a voice saying, hello, is anyone here? And he gets a visit by a guy wearing a headband.
Oh.
Yeah.
Walking a headband and a tie. That's,
yeah, like, that, what a weird look.
That's a look.
Great look. And a trench coat. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Have you seen Big Bang Theory? Those guys are so fashionable. We're just lucky Lyle's not rocking the dickie. Okay,
no, this isn't right. This isn't right. So Kondo says, I don't think you're allowed to be here, sir. I'm not allowed to receive visitors. And the guy says, give me your hand. And he says, what? Now squeeze my hand as hard as you can. Harder. Harder. All right, I'm going to leave that. Do you feel that, Kondo?
You want me to say something about that?
I was waiting.
No, sometimes they write themselves. No,
he says, do you see that, Kondo? Do you feel that? Your pulse. He says, yes. That's blood happening. We made it happen together. We can change the course of your blood and change its content first together. And then eventually you'll be able to do it without me. And he disappears. And he says, you, the invisible kid? They told me you were coming, but I didn't believe them. He says, I'm only Invisible Kid when I'm on a mission with the Legion of Superheroes. Here, I'm just biochemist Lyle Norg. Now get ready for this shot. And he brings out the big old hypo thing.
That is so not a hypo. Hello.
It's like, what is it then?
Well, you know.
I know. He says, oh yeah, and pull out that IV tube. You're not going to need it anymore. We're getting you out of here. I'm not. We are? And so,
what? So
next you see the sun, and this is clearly one of the first times that he's actually seen the sun. And so they're in a flying car, and Lyle passes him some sunglasses, and he says, "You've been in the hand of idiots, kids. Wanted me to try to help you from inside that mausoleum. Here, sunglasses." And he says, "No, I like it." He says, "Yeah, and how about this view? Better than the lab, huh? The chemicals in this air smell delicious. Do you know the combination?" It's fresh air. Can't be duplicated. People have been trying for centuries. Why don't they just go outside? You're okay, Kondo. I think we're going to be friends. What's friends, Lyle? He says, it's like a chemical reaction between people, Kondo. This is my place. You'll be staying here for the next few months. And he says, great. Great. Which way is the lab? So 2 months later, they're hanging out and Lyle seems to always wear the headband, even when he's just in a t-shirt and jeans.
That's kind of creepy, actually.
It's a little weird, isn't it? And he thinks...
Well, we won't know who he is if he doesn't wear the headband.
He thinks he's an 80s Kryptonian.
Yeah.
So he says, I think I'm making real progress. Don't you, Lyle? Hold still. The mutagenic serum I've been injecting you with is a variation on my invisibility formula. Stings yeah. like hell if you miss the thing.
I see gay subtext everywhere.
Straight from the tap, brother. Woo!
Oh my God! What were they thinking back then? So hold on. Let me cliff notes this for you, folks. So far, just so you're up on how gay this story really is. So we have a kid who's a complete outsider. Kid, complete outsider, outcast. He's just out. Okay. So he's in the lab. No human contact whatsoever. The first person who shows him any kindness happens to be this snappy guy with a nice looking dress.
He is not a snappy dresser, sir. Well, in no way, shape, or form.
Compared to what he's seen, he's only seen lab coats all his life. So, you know, this is different. Ooh, different. We love different.
And
He wears a headband. Yeah. That's hot. Okay. So then he says, hey, you know, we're going to get rid of this needle that's sticking in you. Here, drink this. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? And now you're going to come live with me, all right? And he's like, okay, I can
whatever.
Do that. Oh, this is classic daddy son maneuvering
sugar
right here.
Daddy.
Folks.
All right. So he says, it works great. I've been without insulin for 2 whole months now. My blood sugar is absolutely normal. And he says, the serum will help you control your power temporarily, Kondo, but it's not a permanent solution. How many times do I have to tell you that? And he says, maybe I should just go back to the lab. You'd be better off without me. I'm worthless. And
yeah.
And then Invisible Kid gets him in some weird wrestling hold and says, hey, what have I told you about that kind of talk?
Come on. Uh-huh. It's a full Nelson, Paul. Jeez.
It's a what?
It's a full Nelson. It's one of the most basic wrestling moves there is. That's like Olympic wrestling.
So there you go. See? It's a wrestling move. I identified it as a wrestling move. We're good.
Well done. Progress is made. Let's move on.
So he says, oh. He says, what have I told you about that kind of talk? And he says, ow, every human life is worthwhile. People are like chemical elements in the sense that they possess unique properties. And he flips him over. And
hello.
Hey now.
And the two fried eggs that were in the frying pan go flying. And he says, oof, attaboy. He says, and what are the unique properties of Kondo Arlek? And he says, oh, great sense of humor, cheerful and friendly, handsome as anything, world's best fighter. What was that? And he pins him, and he says, "Don't you have something to add?" And timid and shy. And okay, Lyle. Okay, world's second best fighter. And what about the unique properties of Lyle Norg? Ugly, stuck up, cheats in wrestling. Brave, selfless, kind, my best friend. You're right. He says, you're right. You've been making progress, Kondo. I've been meaning to tell you that I put you up for membership in the Legion Academy, and you've been accepted.
Scene is very hot. Just telling you.
Yeah. Not to control your life for you or anything, but I enrolled you in a school.
There's a total master slave thing.
I'm
sending you off for training, okay?
For training in an operation where you're going to risk your life constantly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't worry. You're in good hands. Your daddy will take care of you. I have heard this all before. Yeah.
So he says, you've been accepted. You'll be able to accelerate your training there. Congratulations, pal. And he says, I'll make you proud of me, Lyle.
Oh, he wants to make his master proud. That's so sweet.
Then he can have a sugar cube.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Lyle, no, he can't have that. That's no good for him.
Yeah.
He says, Lyle indeed had cause to be proud of his young friend. As Chemical King, Kondo Arlek was one of the very first entrants into the Legion Academy, and he graduated with honors, eventually gaining complete control over his unusual power. Chemical King served the Legion with distinction, saving lives and thwarting evil at every turn.
Indeed.
And wearing a sharp green outfit.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. It is a nice outfit.
And speaking of green, actually, he did have a very cool costume.
Okay. It's not easy being green.
Indeed.
Green Act 5 knows that.
And while we're talking about that, let's talk about the Muppets for five seconds.
That came out last week, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm impressed.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm just glad everyone has jumped onto the Muppet bandwagon and has gone to see it, apparently. It's like one of the number one movies this week. So
I didn't think there was any doubt that it was going to be. I mean,
yeah, it looks.
Building it up and building up media, mm-hmm. the multimedia. You know,
the internet ads worked.
Oh, they, yeah.
Buzz was huge.
Amazing buzz for this movie. Yeah, I can't wait to go see it. I'm going to go see it.
Ditto. Cool. All right, so he's on monitor duty. Brainiac 5 and Shrinking Violet, another green costume wearer, shows up, and they say, Kondo, may I have a word with you? And he says, sure, Brainiac 5, but it'll have to be fast. Lyle's going to help me with a little flight ring practice in a few minutes.
Oh, flight ring practice. Oh.
Is that what they call it?
Code.
Well, code. You know, very code. Depends on which hand you wear your flight ring on.
It tells me what you're into.
So he says, that's what I want to talk to you about. Lyle Norg was killed last night. He says, killed? Where is he? His body's been taken to the coroner's office. We can go see him if you'd like. And he says, no, not his body. Where's Lyle? Chemicals have reactions. Their energies have to go somewhere. Where are Lyle's energies? Where are Lyle's... And he sobs and he says, where are Lyle's unique properties? And so it says Kondo was never the same again. The other Legionnaires tried to comfort him, but they were at a loss to explain the disappearance of his friend. And you see a bunch of them in a Legion cruiser. Everyone looks happy, and it's like they're totally cruising. And but, no, they are, seriously. And Kondo's just looking out the side, like, even Wildfire is having a good time. Like, come on.
Wow, that's impressive.
So I say his behavior made him unreliable, and you see on a mission board him with an X crossed through his face, and it says he was ready to quit the Legion when a mission came along that required all available hands. Listen up, people. This is Darragon, governor of the Australian region. He's working for the Dark Circle, and it looks like they want World War VII. We must be on our toes today. Which means no mistakes. Kondo, you stay behind and guard the ship. Your power isn't likely to be of much use in the Outback. Damn. Says,
that's cold.
Yeah, that's cold, Brainy. I'm not helpless, Brainiac 5. I know that you think I needed Lyle to babysit me, so I'm no good without him, right? And he goes, that is the truth, isn't it, Kondo? Says, it can't be. If it is, then he's really gone. If it is, then there's nothing left of him. And so we see the familiar scene with Darragon about to press the button. He says, you think you could stop me, Legionnaires? Try to stop this. Try to stop the cosmic energy sphere. In seconds it will go off and we'll all be dead, and with us the world. And you see Kondo getting an idea and looking at it, and Brainy yells, Kondo, no! But he zaps it with his power, and it says, you internalized the chemical reaction that charged the energy sphere. I didn't know you could do that, Kondo. And he says, recognize the active ingredient, cough, at the last minute. Simple helium. Makes my balloon float, boys and girls. Yes, exactly. See, he says, squeeze my hand, Brainiac 5. Feel my pulse. Lyle helped me change its course. He changed the course of my entire life. Took me out of that dark laboratory.
Yeah. Took me out of the dungeon.
Yeah, the closet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Showed me the sun. And I was right, Brainiac 5. He's not gone. And he says, what do you mean, Kondo? I was never brave before. I got that from Lyle. I found him. I found his unique properties. He left them with me.
Inside him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Implanted,
yeah.
So to speak.
Deep inside.
Oh, you're ruining this moment. He says, so Brainy says, I carried Kondo Arlek's body home for burial, but I knew that his precious energies were elsewhere. You see, he had done for me what Lyle Norg had done for him. And
ooh. Huh. Hello.
The plot thickens.
Yes. Something thickens.
Who knew? Okay. Legion / fiction. Go.
And so so you see Brainy standing in front of the gold statues. Take a drink.
Oh, yay! Statues. Yay.
We have the statue for Triplicate Girl, for Invisible Kid, for Feral Lad, and of course for Chemical King. And Brainy says, and I was never the same again.
Hey now.
So, just a couple of notes here.
He's walking kind of funny.
He ruined Brainy for other men. Look at that.
Yeah. Well,
So just some notes behind the origins, and this comes on the letters page. Karate Kid and Feral Lad, along with Princess Projectra and Nemesis Kid, joined the Legion of Superheroes in Adventure Comics 346, July 1966, in a story written and penciled by the teenage Jim Shooter and inked and finished by Sheldon Moldoff. The occasion of their joining was the imminent invasion of Earth by the Kuns, the greatest warrior race in the galaxy. The superheroes put out a call for members, and these four teenagers stepped forth and were initiated immediately following demonstrations of their powers. In the very next issue of Adventure, Nemesis Kid was revealed to be a Kundian spy and narrowly escaped the Legion's wrath by ducking out during the battle between the superheroes and the invasion force. The three remaining Tyros became fast friends and even worked together outside the supervision of the more experienced Legion Legionnaires on one of their first cases, which was revealed in flashback in Baxter Run in issue 31. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, tragedy was to strike the trio not once, but twice. Many years later, after Projectra and Karate Kid had fallen in love, retired from the Legion, and become husband and wife, they became involved in the ultimate war between the superheroes and the Legion of Supervillains, and Karate Kid was slain at the hands of the leader of the villains, Nemesis Kid. And of course, that was Baxter series number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Feral Lad became one of the first Legionnaires to sacrifice his life to protect his teammates. His story took a stranger turn than Karate Kid's, however. In the very next issue of Adventure, Feral Lad's twin brother, Douglas, was introduced in the Adult Legion story, a now classic imaginary tale speculating what the Legion might be like once the members had grown to adulthood and had begun to get married and have children of their own.
They're all imaginary tales.
Indeed.
Though.
Though this alternate history story wasn't an official part of Legion continuity, Douglas himself was later established as part of the Legion canon and was finally seen in Legion 300. And so he gets to Chemical King. Another example of how the Adult Legion story eventually played into existing Legion continuity, Chemical King was first seen in Adventure 354, March 1967, as a statue. That's right, folks, it was predestined. Mm-hmm. According to this Jim Shooter story, again, presumably set sometime in the Legion's future, a hero named Kondo Arlek, a.k.a. Chemical King, was destined to someday join the Legion, only to lay down his life to prevent a world war. And that was all we knew about Chemical King for nearly 2 years, until Shooter wrote the teenage Arlek into the series as a new Legion recruit in Adventure 372 in September 1968. Sharp-eyed readers, of course, recognized Arlek and knew his final destiny, but they had to wait a full decade to see then-new Legion scribe Paul Levitz play it out in Superboy in the Legion 228, February 1977, in a series of events recapped in this issue's Chemical King story. So, there you go.
Else was on that cover was Feral Lad, so it gave some weight to the fact that Chemical King was going to die. And it also featured Quantum Queen, Reflecto, and Shadow.
Oh, yeah, Reflecto.
Woman.
That's right.
So
there you go. Very cool. I really loved the Secret Origins series.
Mm-hmm. I liked it too.
I miss it so much.
Yeah, to me, like, this is what I would like to see that
the DC Comics presents.
The DC Universe presents thing. Uh-huh. I'd rather them, you know, they kind of go in the opposite way that I'd like, which is, you know, they're going for like, you know, four or five issue arcs, and hey, Challengers of the Unknown coming up.
Woohoo! Love the Challengers.
Indeed.
Can't wait.
Indeed.
Can't wait.
And so I mean, they're going that direction. Whereas what I like is this was one issue with three 12 page stories.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's an exercised issue, but I don't mind that because I'm getting three complete stories in it.
Yeah,
and it's proof, you know. I mean, hey, Mark Waid proved that you can do an origin of a character in 2 pages. But these are some interesting fleshed out stories about these characters, especially when you consider that, with the exception, you know, that neither Feral Lad nor Chemical King really got that much face time in series.
No, they totally didn't.
So you know, I mean, Karate Kid, he got some face time. He got his own series, in fact.
Yeah.
But you know, Chemical King and Feral Lad, I learned more about these characters here from any of the issues than I did from any of the issues that I read about them.
Oh, totally. Because they weren't in. Like, Feral Lad was in 4 issues and then was killed off. And then Chemical King joined, and then you didn't see him for like years at a time except in the background.
Exactly.
So, unless the writer had something very specific for him to do, Chemical King was not in the comic at all. So
he didn't have the easiest power to write for, you know?
No, I can see.
No, it's a difficult power, but I think a writer would take that as a challenge and go, how do I use this guy so he's useful, you know?
And I think that's one of the reasons that Paul Levitz is you know, he's making amends for that with Chemical Kid in the Legion now, you know? He's pushing that character to the forefront. Now that forces him, you know, because he told us himself that it was a tough power to write for. But now, so he's stepping up to the challenge.
I remember when we asked him about that, we said Chemical King in our lightning round. He said, "I probably shouldn't have killed him."
Well, because you know,
I listened to it again weekend. Go back and listen to that one, folks. I would love to think that maybe we had a little part in the Chemical Kid birthing. So, you know,
that'd be cool.
I think it'd be funky.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll wait for Levitz to kill him off, then we can go, no, you know.
So. Yeah. World War VIII. Damn it. Oh man. But no, so
he says he's evil. So, you know, you can't argue with a writer who says they're evil. So
it's true. It's true. But you know, so I'm sitting, I went out to, cause I had these ones, sitting in the garage, you know, cause I was sorting some stuff out and I set them out. So for just this reason, cause I knew we'd get to them eventually. And, you know, and so I have here, like, you know, this issue 47. I've also got 37, which was the Legion of Substitute Heroes by Ty Templeton, and
Dr. Light in it.
Yeah,
and
the Dr. Light origin, exactly. The Phantom Girl origin.
Mm-hmm.
Inexplicably, Black Hawk and El Diablo. You know, because the rest of them are all Legion themed, and that's kind of the odd one out.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the secret origins of the headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's also a Shadow Last Doll Man.
Yeah, I've got that one. I've got that one probably in one of the long boxes. But I set these ones out just because I knew we'd want to get to them at some point, and you know, because they're fun. And this is the kind of book I'd like to see them do with that DC Universe Presents, is give us short stories that show us a bunch of different characters.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
You know, like
I would love to see like characters like let's take someone obscure like Dolphin or
yeah. Well, and this would be a great opportunity for them to do some of those little, you know, like a Secret Origins series would be something that would give them a great opportunity to tell some of these backstories. Mm-hmm. Now I know they want to kind of meet it out slowly in the books, but you know, there's somewhere where it would bear, you know, hey, here's a great way to introduce a character, which mm-hmm. is what they did in this series constantly.
Yeah,
I never
heard of it.
Yeah, they would introduce a character, and then within a month or two, you would get a new series with that character, and so it was used as the launching pad for a number of series, mm-hmm. And so yeah, I greatly miss it because I think it was a fun series, you know, and it's interesting because it went through a few different tones, you know, I mean, at the very beginning, it was actually Roy Thomas's baby. And yeah. So they would do like one Golden Age character origin and one Modern Age character origin,
mm-hmm.
and that was really cool.
I liked that a lot. Yeah.
So there was a lot of neat stuff. It was great because it was used often as a new talent showcase to a certain mm-hmm. degree, but you also got like some classic guys coming back. Like I mean, I'm looking at the Phantom Girl issue. And so that story is Tom and Mary Beerbohm with art by Dave Cockrum.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grey Ghost origin in here is, oh my God. The
Grey Ghost or the Grim Ghost?
You're right, the Grim Ghost. I'm sorry, yes.
Because the Grim Ghost used to be called the Gay Ghost way back when, folks. Yeah. FYI.
No, I can understand
name
that.
Change.
So this one was with art by Michael Baer. Who is an artist I would love to see more work from. I really love the stuff he did on Infinity Inc. and Young All-Stars, mm-hmm. and of course written by Roy Thomas, mm-hmm. And it's adapted from the Sensation Comics number one story, and it's just, you know, I love the range that you get, because you get, you know, again, modern character with Phantom Girl, and then you get this Golden Age mm-hmm. character, and you get a style of art that kind of evokes that style. I think I've made my stance on it clear.
Well, my favorite one was Phantom Stranger.
Oh yeah. Four different origins.
Four different origins of the Phantom Stranger. That was just brilliant because here's one of these characters who everyone's like, well, what's his origin? But if you really give an origin for him, you're kind of ruining the mystique of the character, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So instead, they wrote four entirely different origins that I thought were any one of them were plausible. Any one of those could possibly be the truth, but it also left the door open that maybe none of these are the truth.
Exactly.
Well, there's an Alan Moore, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, that was the best work Secret Origins did.
Yeah.
Was to do that. So, but that's me with.
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, yeah. Of course, I'm partial to the All Monkeys issue.
Well. Oh, well, totally you are. Shocking. Shocking, that is. But
Gorilla Grodd, Detective Chimp, and.
And Beppo?
No, oddly.
Monsieur Mala?
No, who was the other one?
I don't know.
There was another one.
Titano?
Hmm.
Ultra Humanite?
No, I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, Kongorilla.
Kongorilla. Oh, there we go. Kongorilla. Yeah, yeah. Congo Bill and Kongorilla.
Yes, former Justice Leaguer Kongorilla.
Oh, God. Truly, these are the end times. So,
and of course, I have the Ambush Bug one as well.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Jumping the Shark and Ambush Bug, you know, Brave and the Bold ended.
That
was the best ending episode ever of a series I have seen. Beat the ending to Lost with a dead fish. I swear to God.
I gotta find me this.
You have to find it. You have to watch it. Oh my! And the one before it was pretty good too. The one where they did the four short stories, which featured
that was neat. Yeah, Creature Commandos and
Amazing Man.
Amazing Man.
Nice.
Amazing Man. Crying out loud. Amazing Man? Holy crap. I squealed like a little fanboy.
Yeah, that last season, oh man, it like
it was beautiful.
The three of them, the Trinity. The
Trinity versus the Cheetah, Luthor, and the Joker.
Yeah.
Really and well done.
The last scene in that episode is
very Kingdom Come.
Them in the future, breaking open this time capsule that they've made.
Huh?
And
who was president
of the United States? Is
Prez.
Oh, nice.
I mean, if you know, like, your DC lore, Brave and the Bold was such a beautiful piece of work. Oh, the Easter eggs were just amazing. But the last episode, Batmite versus Ambush Bug, that's all you need to know.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know.
God.
Henry Winkler facing Ambush Bug versus Pee Wee Herman voicing
Batmite. My God. That's hilarious.
I mean, guest starring Ted McGinley. So, you know.
Oh, that's why they get canceled.
Well, that's kind of the point of the show.
It's part of it's the whole thing. It's very
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It really is a special piece of work, and I recommend it. It's called Mightfall.
Yes.
Nice.
I would suggest everyone do some Brave and Bold this week. It's fun. Very fun. And watch Young Justice if you want to get broody, you know. So,
yeah, I've been watching a few of those. I've been quite enjoying it. But yes, you're right. It's a little darker.
it's a little darker. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little moodier. It's like Christian Bale when someone brings him the wrong coffee. So you know.
Oh.
Snap. Damn. It's okay. I don't work in Hollywood. I can say that.
All right, then, hey, we need to remind people of our contest.
Yes, we have a contest going on. Yes, we have a contest going on. Where were you when we decided this?
And post your pictures of you with your flight ring.
Yes.
Any flight ring. Heck, cut one out. Like, draw one on paper and cut it out and put it on you and take a picture.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be
that.
A real flight ring.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, any kind of flight ring. You know, take a picture of yourself with that flight ring. Make it cool. Because what we're going to do is first... Post it on our Facebook page. It's on Facebook. Type in Legion of Substitute Podcasters. It takes you right to us. Post it there. And that gets your name entered into a draw for a prize.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens is we're going to look at the pictures and we're going to look for what is the coolest picture. And we're going to decide amongst ourselves which one is the coolest picture. And that will win the grand prize.
Yes.
Do we know what the prizes are yet?
No, we got to decide that.
Okay.
Yes. The draw will mean that you can win prizes out of the prize vault, which has been generously stocked by Paul McCall.
But it's gonna be good stuff.
It's great stuff. Yeah. It's Legion Comics.
Ooh, Legion Comics. We love Legion Comics.
Exactly. And we'll find ways to carve up the huge stack of comics that he gave, which will give you hours and hours of enjoyment.
Indeed.
And lots of cool Keith Giffen art, some cool Steve Lytle art, some Greg LaRock.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff. All those guys. So we will definitely be drawing from that. But yeah, we got a couple of really cool prizes. But you know, we're gonna have to talk about this offline as to which one it's gonna be.
Yeah,
it's a secret for you guys.
Yeah, that's it. Ultra Dillinger.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ultra Dillinger.
Take a drink every time we do that, folks.
Every time we do Ultra Dillinger.
Yeah, it's beginning to become a habit, I think. Yes. So. Add that to the list, Nixon. Add it to the list. There you go. And got to keep him busy on those road trips. So
exactly. So enter it there. Put it there. We enter your name in the draw. Put it on the Facebook page. Hey, as an added bonus, you can post that very same picture on the forum, which is at forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you get to double dip.
Second ballot.
You get to double dip. All right, so put it here, put it there, because there's some people who don't make their way over to the Facebook page and vice versa, and so it's neat for them to be able to see it too. Because the whole thing is, it's all about something that's cool and building community, doing something fun, and so it makes everyone part of that community, and I think that's really neat. So that's the scoop. So very cool stuff, and so enter early, enter often.
My motto.
Are they allowed to put one picture in?
What's that? Sure, why not?
Do they get more than one ballot for more than one picture?
If they're doing, as long as the pictures are different, like let's not do it like a photo booth thing where it's like, here's a bunch of pictures of me just standing here with my flight ring. You know, do something different with it.
Yeah. Appreciably different entries will count.
Yes.
Indeed. Yes. Indeed. Points for creativity will be awarded, at least by me. So there you go.
Exactly. So there we go. Contest. Enter. Yeah. Woo.
It's.
All right.
And we didn't even talk about Legion news this week because, you know, there isn't any as far as I could tell. It's just read the books, kids.
Get too busy putting books out to be making news.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's also not con season yet. You know, we're in the dead con season time. So
yeah.
I'm thinking February is MegaCon, so I will probably hear something around February about some stuff. So there you go.
Yay.
Certainly. I guess a little bit.
Is there
of
a
news.
Con coming?
There's maybe a little. It's a newslet. It's a
it's a baby news item. It's a newslet.
It's newsish. Just Bob Harris had posted on the board, and this goes back a week or so ago, talking about possible crossovers, and
isn't like, Star Trek enough?
Well, no, and this is actually with Legion Lost. And hang on a second here. Let me just find the item in the news archives.
I vote for Spider-Man or Punisher.
The Hollow Archives.
Yes. I'll check the Hollow Vids.
Superman, I'm guessing.
Okay, so here it is. No, actually. Scott Lobdell and Fabian Nicieza are working on a storyline that will flow between Teen Titans, Superboy, and Legion Lost. It explores everything from the mystery of Project Nowhere, the organization that developed Superboy as the ultimate weapon, to the tragedy of the mysterious Hypertaxis virus brought to our century from the future by the time-lost Legionnaires, to how both impact our newly formed group of young heroes.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's something they're working on, and not sure when that's actually going to hit. But of course, as we know, we've got a little bit, you know, they've been working on some stuff between Animal Man and Swamp Thing, and we're going to be seeing OMAC and Frankenstein knocking heads soon. So
I am there for both of those events.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Oh yeah.
I'm waiting for Phantom Stranger. I'm not to bring him back, but Phantom Stranger for Justice League Dark. So I mean, he seems perfect fit to show up there at some point, but it doesn't seem to have happened yet.
No. Yeah. They're like three issues in, right? I mean,
yeah, I know. Either there or Demon Knights, one of the two. So,
oh, yeah, I'd rather see
that would be really interesting. Well, because remember when he showed up in Madame Xanadu? That was always really interesting.
Oh, yeah. They have a history. That's
it. So that'd be interesting to see that, to see if that history will continue over to the new universe.
And I hope that they do have that kind of still show up a little bit, especially when it seems like Madame Xanadu and the demon's relationship is kind of a two-faced, so to speak, in Demon Knights. So not to spoil it, but you know.
Hey, check out Demon Knights. Cool book.
Oh, please do. I love Demon Knights. It's like, oh, you met at the tavern. Great. Okay. Questing.
Questing. Exactly.
Shall we quest? Yes, I think we shall quest. Let's quest. Questing.
All right. We got anything else? Another reason for Darren to bring out the Phantom Stranger. Scott, any other old karate movies to talk about?
Nope. Not offhand.
All right. All right, then. So,
sorry, no TV tangents this week. Sorry.
Hey, we can't do that every week.
Not every week.
Yeah.
It's got to be spontaneous.
Exactly.
You know, it's just
isn't right. Thing, so. Exactly.
When you're talking about Simon and Simon for no reason at all, then people are just like,
what? Yeah, well, you know, Rick and AJ, they had a difficult relationship.
All right, wrap it up.
That's much like Lyle and Con. Discuss.
Oh, God, that's a whole different vibe, sir. They're brothers.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Took place on the West Coast, not Lower Alabama. Thank you very much.
He had that porno mustache. Come on.
Well, who didn't in the 80s? Everyone was trying to come back. I'm crying out loud.
Oh, poor Major Dad. All right. Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters.
Hold on. Major Dad married Delta Burke of Designing Women.
Yes.
That ties it into the Facebook page.
Oh, that's right. Hey, yeah.
Because Wildfire is Meshach Taylor, apparently.
Oh, God. Wait, so are you saying that Meshach Taylor is gay Southern Mr. T?
Yes, that's what they're saying. Yes.
Wow, just wow.
There's even a very badly photoshopped picture of the Designing Women cast with Wildfire.
Hey, over. That's not Photoshop. That's Microsoft Paint, sir.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Come on.
Whatever.
It's awesome. I love the time it's taken.
I have the artistic sensibilities of a salted slug, so, you know, whatever.
All right, then. Comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join the conversation on the forum.
What? I just looked at that picture. It looks like he's going to punch that chick in the face.
I know, it's awesome.
In the face.
You can head over to the Facebook page on the Facebook. That is, just type in Legion of Substitute Podcasters in the searchy box, and it will take you to, so that you can see this very picture about which Scott is just speaking. Yes.
It's something.
And
I was trying to wrap this up desperately.
You can join in the conversation on the forum. That is forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. I already mentioned the Facebook page. I'm not going to mention it again. I'm done mentioning it. We're also on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode as you so wish. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, although we're going to kind of stay away from Chemical King's chair because, ew. And we're going to make our way back to the... he's been catalyzing all over the place. And we're going to head into the time bubble, make our way back to the 21st century, and we will see you all next week.
Serum seepage.